Words. So many words. It's the news. Good to me. Well, good morning, blah, blah, blah. It is February 21st, Tuesday. The 21st day of February, 2023. And I am your host. The hostiest of hosts. Whatever that means. I am Kevin, and I'm your host this morning on this morning's show, The News According to Me. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I'm the guy who tells you that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a broadcast engineer, I'm not a life coach or a financial counselor. But I do have a cup. And in my cup, I'm about to tell you what's in my cup. So that, just so you know. Because it's important. It's an important thing. You can't hardly get through your day without knowing what's in my cup, I'm sure. That's why most of you tune in. And as soon as you find out, you tune out. I have vanilla chai with vanilla creamer. I talked about this yesterday. I did finish up the Starbucks crappy creamer. And it was the supposedly pumpkin spice. It didn't taste anything like pumpkin or spice. And it was like cardboard. And so I ended up, I just chopped up some cardboard and put it in my chai this morning. It tastes better, actually. It's good cardboard, though. It's high-quality cardboard. I have, in my cup, I have this vanilla creamer that is supposedly good for you as far as creamers go. And if you're going to drink creamer, it's better creamer than most creamers. So there you go. Now I have a backup cup as well. Happened to go to, I had to drive into town last night. Hardly ever go to Goshen anymore. I live between Goshen and Elkhart, Indiana. And I typically go into Elkhart now more than anything, probably. I actually end up in Mishawaka more than I do anything else. But just because my spouse had some things to do in town yesterday, in the big city over there. We had to go into town. And she got home. She was tired. She drives an hour each way to work. She drives an hour to work and an hour home. And so she's pretty much wiped out when she gets home. So rather than having her continue on the drive, I just offered to, drive her into town. Plus, I was going to get some supper. So I stopped off at Culver's on the way back. And I got, I ended up with some sweet tea from Culver's. That's what I have right now. Now, sweet tea at Culver's is not bad. It does not, however, meet any kind of standard anywhere near what Chick-fil-A has. It seems like it has gotten better. The sweet tea at Culver's has gotten better over the years. Just in the last year, in fact, it has made some improvements. I don't know what they're doing differently, but it does taste better. It hasn't had a bad taste. It's not funky. It's not a phony taste. It's not like the stuff you get out of the machine, like when you get sweet tea out of the, like the brisk tea. That stuff doesn't taste like that. So that's phony. That's not really tea. This stuff is actually, it has a brewed flavor to it. I think it comes from a mix, however, or a concentration bag or whatever. What do they do with that stuff? And it's okay. At least it's consistent. And I've rarely gotten tea at Culver's that smells or tastes like it has coliform bacteria in it. When tea goes bad, it gets this certain kind of bacteria growth in it. It's called coliform bacteria. However, I'm not a tea scientist. I'm not a teaologist. That's probably an actual real thing, and it has nothing to do with tea, probably. Like a meteorologist. I remember being in biology class one time, and the teacher said, who knows what a meteorologist is? We were supposed to write down on a piece of paper, what do you think a meteorologist is? He had all these different terms he wrote down. We were supposed to write down on our piece of paper what we thought they were. Then he went around he didn't actually go around the class. He just said, okay, here's the answers to all these questions. Now, he didn't go around and ask each person I put study of somebody who studies meteors. I thought, you know, a meteor is one thing and a meteorite isn't something else. Now, meteors has to do with a meteorological event, which means something, I guess, going through the sky or something. I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a meteor is. I'm not a biologist. I can't tell you anything about the weather. I'm not a biologist. Yeah, obviously. Apparently not a meteorologist either. Or any kind of, apparently I didn't pay attention in science class. So it was interesting. He had all these different terms, you know, and you would think, you know, okay, so this, like an entomologist, just different things like that. Just what are all these things? What are these people? And these occupations. And so maybe things aren't so a teologist probably is something, but it has nothing to do with tea. Probably somebody who studies the, you know, ancient Hebrew or ancient hieroglyphics, finding the letters T, you know, everything that they relate to. I don't know. Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there. So that's in my backup cup is my, that's a long story just to tell you what was in my backup cup, Culver's tea. There you go. That's my story for that. And that's about all the time we have for our show this morning. So I'll see you later. It's time to end the show now. So thanks again for listening and we'll talk to you later. No, just kidding. It's not time to end the show. Kidding me. I got another 54 minutes to talk, 52 and a half, whatever. A couple of things I want to talk about this morning. There's some interesting information coming out about Palestine, East Palestine in Ohio. There's some really creepy things going on there that happened prior to the incident and have happened since the incident. And it's just bizarre stuff. This whole thing is creepy in so many ways. And then we have the issue on top of that. We have this other issue of the FBI and the CDC and what's been happening with tracking people. Now, I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I just assume everybody sees this stuff. Where we are headed as a society. I mean, is anybody looking ahead here at where the train's going? The train is staying on the rails? We're being railroaded into a train wreck? It's so amazing to me, I guess, how obvious some things are that I guess I assume everybody else sees them as obvious, and maybe they're not that obvious. Maybe I just happen to have a little, something weird about me that I can, you know, some people just notice details, certain details that other people don't notice. You ever driven down the road with somebody? Now, of course, you're focused on driving. So you're not noticing the same things that everybody else is, you know, somebody else in the car may not be noticing. Now, when I'm riding around with my wife, she's pretty much doing stuff on her phone the whole time. And I'm looking around at all the, you know, neat houses and stuff. I can't be watching my phone, so I'm looking outside. So I'm driving through a particular neighborhood that I've maybe never been down before or whatever. Looking at the houses, looking at the, you know, the scenery. Oh, look, there's 10 deer out there in the field. You know, a minute later, she looks up and says, where, what? Like, back there, about 2 miles, there were deer in the field. I was pointing them out. It's kind of late now, but, you know, next time I'll try to tell you a couple miles ahead of time before I see the deer. I was shopping with my wife the other day and we were in the grocery store. We were at a farm store, but it was, they have some food there. And so we were in the food aisle place and there was a big row of all kinds of different kinds of honey. So I started going down the aisle. And I was pointing at the honey and I said, honey, 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 honey. Kept saying that. Finally, she looked over at me. And she realized I was pointing at the honey. I said, do we need any honey? Do we need any honey? There's so many different ways to say something like that. Honey, do we need any? Honey? Yeah. She was sort of amused, but she didn't want to show it. I know that inside she's laughing at all my jokes, but she just doesn't want to give me the satisfaction of knowing that she thinks it's funny. I'm pretty sure that's the way it goes. I'm pretty sure. That's good chai. I'll just wash it down with some chai. Washing down my thoughts. Well, folks, let's talk about that. And let's talk a little bit about the FBI thing and what's happening in New York. The tracking of people. And it's, all you have to do is look at China. They're at like a half a step ahead of us in many ways. Most of the technology that they're using comes from us. They're not developing any of this stuff. They're just using it to the full potential of what they can do with it. Because they're tyrants. Much like what they're doing here. So, we have, let's examine the issues with East Palestine. Prior to, there was a Netflix special. Now, we've all heard about this probably. Maybe you haven't. It's on the news all over the place. I have not seen the special. However, it's out there. I've seen the title. I haven't actually watched it. The whole show, the whole movie is about the whole story revolves around East Palestine, Ohio, where there's a train derailment, an explosion from the train. There are reports that the train was actually on fire. Cars were on fire before the derailment even happened. There is a report now coming out. There's some people who are very creeped out about the fact that just a few months prior to the incident, there was a push for some kind of real ID thing that they were experimenting with in Palestine, where your biometric information, all your medical conditions and all that kind of stuff, were going to be put into your real ID so that if you had a medical emergency, they could scan a QR code on your ID and they could find out if you had any kind of issues like asthma, diabetes, any allergies to medications, that kind of thing. So when an EMT person or somebody would, first responder would show up to an accident or an incident, they could scan that code and they would know whether, it's kind of like a medical ID bracelet kind of thing, only it was a QR code thing that would go into the ethosphere. What could possibly go wrong with that? That could never be used for anything nefarious. So there's that. And of course, then in January, just a month prior to the incident, there was a huge push to get everybody signed up for this thing. And it was a test program for East Palestine. Why East Palestine? What's that all about? Now, I don't know. It all seems a little bit coincidental. I'm not going to go down the road of, something's happening here with something creepy, something weird, something's happened here. Whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on any of that, even though I am. I'm just putting it out there saying, this doesn't look quite right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know. So let's just leave it at that, I guess. Don't really know for sure what's happening here. But it certainly seems a little bit odd. That's all I'm going to say. So Biden has not been to East Palestine. Nobody's been there to see what's happening from the administration other than, I don't even think Pete Buttigieg has been there. He's just been talking about how, well, this happens all the time. We have 1,000 of them a year. And it's Trump's fault, by the way. It's Trump's fault. Trump did it. So it's Trump's fault. Because he, you know, the brakes. You guys had 2 years to put that back in place. Now you're still blaming it on Trump. It's absolutely ridiculous. These people, they get away with this stuff. This is what gets me with these people. Apparently our society, I don't know if it's the public school system. I don't know what it is. The other day, I don't know if I could find this. I really need to play this because it's sickening to my stomach when I hear this thing. I'm gonna try to find this because it is absolutely ridiculous. Now my mouse isn't working properly. Let's see if I can find this. Stand by for just a second here. Just give me just one. Just as I'm, you know, talking, I'm gonna try to find this thing. And let's see. I think this is it right here. We're gonna play this and see how it goes here. This is from courtesy of the Matt Walsh Show. So we'll just put this out here. Here it is.
It's sick and twisted that I have to work just to survive, just to live my life for basic ass necessities.
He's cussing. Like, apparently,
I don't want to work until the day I die, just to eat and
okay. I don't, sleep. I'll keep playing it.
Basic human necessities. It shouldn't be controversial. Free housing, free healthcare shouldn't be a pipe dream. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, "Oh, you should be doing this or that." No. Like, what if I don't want to be rich? What if I want to achieve shit? I still have to work till the day I die just to live?
Okay, now you gotta understand, this guy's got hair that's about as long as, his hair goes down to, it looks like he's got his eyebrows painted on. I'm not sure exactly how he identifies. This could be interesting. It does have earrings. Yeah, I'm not sure. He is wearing a pink shirt. But let's continue on here.
Just to survive, people survive. Give up their entire lives just to retire at the ripe age of 60 whatever. For what? To get paid dirt even then? People destroy their bodies physically and mentally.
So get paid dirt. In other words, Social Security, which is a basic income. What does he want? Does he want $20,000 a month?
Just to feed into a capitalistic system that does not give a shit about you. Like, God didn't make me the smartest angel, but I know that shit needs to change.
So this is what we have here. I have to tell you, this is TikTok now. But unfortunately, there are probably, I could probably find 100 of these without even really searching very hard of this kind of mentality. I've seen several of these, actually. Just from what other people have posted. This guy's gone viral because of his rant, because he thinks he's so smart about it. This is the epitome of entitlement. Just to survive, I can't have just a basic income. Really? Just to eat? Yeah, it's called you don't work, you don't eat, buddy. Every creature on the planet has to work to survive. Yeah, this is where we are. This is the kind of mentality, this is the kind of society that we are becoming. And you know, people look at this and go, oh, he's just a fringe person. No, folks, there is a fringe. The fringe becomes, this is an up-and-coming movement, folks. This isn't just fringe. We thought that folks who were trans not so long ago. It was just a fringe thing. Now it's being forced upon us to accept it, not to just accept it, but to celebrate it. And not just to celebrate it, but to encourage others to do it. And if you don't, you're transphobic. The movement now is basically out there saying, if you don't want to date someone who's trans, if you're not attracted, if you can't date someone who's trans, if you say, I'm not going to date anyone who's trans, then you're transphobic. You're a bigot. That's where we are right now. Now, the other day I was watching this video of some police officers who were they had pulled over someone for speeding, and she was speeding like 15 miles an hour over the speed limit. She claims she was 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Okay, whatever. You're still over the speed limit, and they pulled you over for it. They just wanted to stop her. The guy was just going to give her a warning. Wasn't even going to give her a ticket. She was yelling at him. He ends up calling for backup. He finds out she has a warrant out for failure to appear. When he confronts her with the warrant issue, she says, that's why I was trying to tell you to hurry. I didn't want you to find out I had a warrant. She's all mad. And then she starts complaining that my mom has my child. I need to get home to my child because my mom's home alone with my child. Well, I tell you, she wasn't dressed like she was out at work. Maybe she was. I'm not sure what kind of work she does. But she didn't look like she was dressed for work, and it was late at night. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe she's a maitre d' at a club or something. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying, it looked like she was out partying. That's what it looked like. Maybe she was a little bit inebriated. I don't know. The officer didn't even attempt to push her on that issue. He finally has a couple other officers that show up with him. She is on the phone with her mother at the time, and her mother is telling her to comply with what the officers are asking her to do. She keeps getting out of the car. He's back in the car. She keeps getting out of the car and yelling at the officer. He keeps telling her to get back in the car, please. He's very polite, very calm the whole time. Her mother on the phone hears the officers, and she continues to tell her, just they're not being unreasonable. Just do what they're asking. Just comply with what they're doing. Well, they find out then that she has a bench warrant for failure to appear. She's in contempt of court. She is supposed to go to jail for that. They're supposed to take her to jail for that warrant. When he explains that to her, she knows about it, but she said, well, I didn't know anything about it, but she knew about it. So she went back and forth with this whole thing. Finally, her car was running at this time, and her door was open. Officers were trying to get her to come out of the car. She wouldn't come out of the car. She drove off. She drove, ironically, to her house, sideswiped her mother's car as she was trying to pull in and park, and then went inside her house. Of course, they knew who she was. They knew what her dress was. They went to her house. They didn't pursue her. They didn't chase her. They went to her house. Her mom came out, saw the car damage. Her car, her daughter's car was up on the curb, kind of between two other vehicles, and had hit the back of another car, but didn't do any damage to it. The guy came out. The police showed up. He said, yeah, it doesn't look like there's any damage to my car. I don't care. Whatever. It's fine. Now, unfortunately, modern cars today, you can't tell there's damage done. Somebody hits your bumper, it can spring back into place, and it can actually have been collapsed on the inside, but the plastic pops back out. And you may think, oh, it's just a scratch. The integrity of your bumper is gone. The next time you get hit, it's going to be worse. It's part of a crumple situation there where you were supposedly thought you had a certain amount of impact resistance, and now you don't have that impact resistance anymore. Now, I'm not an automotive allergist. I'm not a crushologist. But I do know from working in a body shop for a little while that those are issues. You can have $1,000 worth of damage and you can't even tell it. So this guy refused to to have anything to do with it, which I probably was the wisest thing. It's probably worth $1,000 just to say, you know what, just let her go. I'm not going to pursue this particular individual. She's out of control. So the police officers come to the door. Her mother is there and tells her, you know, she needs to go with them. So the lady is screaming at the police saying, you're not going to do this in front of my, don't do this in front of my children. In front of my child. I don't want my child to see. Okay, so they let her come out without putting the handcuffs on. They come out of the house. The police never went into the house, but she comes out. They walk around the side of the house, and then they want to put her in cuffs, and she kept refusing to be in cuffs. Don't do this in front of my child. Well, your child isn't anywhere around. Your child's inside the house. They can't see you from here. Don't do this in my yard. Don't do this in my house. Personally, I would have thought she's fixing to run. She's going to try to outrun these guys. Now, okay, so she she gets over to the car. They finally get her in handcuffs. They finally say, no, you have to put the handcuffs on. This is our protocol. You have to do this. So they basically start forcing her to put the handcuffs on. And she starts screaming, something about you slapped me down. You threw me down on my face. She said this several times. Even when they came to the door, you threw me down on my face. She said that at least three or four times. So they put the cuffs on her and she's still screaming. She's obviously trying to get attention and trying to draw attention so that people will come around and start. And of course the police officer's body cameras are already on her. So the most disturbing thing to me about this whole thing, even though she was acting up and acting out, okay, she's a little bit scared. She's a little bit belligerent. Whatever's going on, doesn't like the police, has been fed all this baloney about police trying to kill her. But the thing that started coming out of her mouth next was most disturbing to me. When she started saying over and over and louder, screaming as loud as she could, I hate white people. She was saying, you're taking me in for this. You're taking me in for this when, you know, the other people are doing such other stuff. You're going to arrest me for this for no reason, for no harm, whatever. She kept going on with this thing. And then she would scream, I hate white people. Now, the thing that bothers me about this if a white person is screaming, I hate black people. They are automatically referred to as a racist bigot, and it should be punished to the fullest. It's the one crime that you can commit these days, it seems like, that should, you know, you should go away forever. It's because you hate a particular race. And sure, it's stupid. It's disgusting. It's despicable. It's not illegal. The minute it becomes illegal is when we have a problem. Now, I'm not saying that her hating white people was illegal. I think it's disgusting and despicable. Here's what's even more disgusting and despicable. A society and a culture that excuses that kind of behavior. Well, she's oppressed. She's grown up with all this oppression, and she's just acting out against all this oppression she's had. Okay, whatever. Whatever the reason is, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. And it needs to be called out. And I'm speaking to the churches out there. Some of them I've had arguments, polite arguments, with clergy, preachers, pastors of what I have no other way of talking, of saying it, what would be referred to as black churches. I don't even like that term. Biden just used it the other day. I'd go to Mass and then I'd go to the black church. Okay. So. I just made another rambling, stupid statement the other day. I probably should have pulled it up. Incoherent thing about racism and how there's so much race. Racism never goes away. It's out there hiding under the rocks. Just needs a little oxygen. Well, I said, what are you talking about? It's becoming a race baiter just like all the rest of them. I've had this discussion before about the whole thing about forgiveness. I'm not going to go there. So this young lady, this young woman, who apparently knows enough about life to have given birth, screaming, "I hate white people." And here is the deal. I've had these discussions with pastors. I said, so you don't think that black people can be racist? But because the statement was, you know, racism is only one-sided. I said, well, racism can happen on, you know, it can go either way. Oh, no, it can't. Because a black person doesn't have any institutional power. That's the statement that they always make. They have no institutional power. Now, when I look at the definition of racism, let's see what Merriam-Webster says about this. We're going to check in with Merriam here. See if we can find it here. Racism, the belief that race accounts for differences in human character or ability, and that a particular race is superior to others. Now, that would be white. That would be racial supremacy, which is a little different than just racism itself. Discrimination or prejudice based on race, the belief that each race has distinct and intrinsic attributes. Now, I have to tell you, there is some validity to the DNA, the different, certain, there's medical differences in the black community, and maybe it's dietary, I don't know, maybe it's cultural dietary thing, but there is a known fact that diabetes has a much higher rate among African Americans than it does among Europeans. I don't know why. I haven't looked at the studies. All I know is that statistically, that's the way it is. There is probably a reason why there is more African Americans playing in the NBA. I don't know. I'm not saying that there's not a white person that can't play as good or better. Larry Bird. However, I do know that, you know, when you have the vast majority, but I also know that there are certain things that Asians can do. It seems like they have a propensity to rise to the top in certain academia. Why is that? I don't know. Now, the idea that one race is superior to another in all things, that one race should be ruling the world, that's baloney. There are families among white people themselves, among the Europeans themselves, there are certain families that seem to have this genetic bent towards being tall or being short. Or one family might have this I know of a family that just, it seemed like everybody that I knew in their family, from their grandparents down to their kids, their grandkids and their great-grandkids, were very academically smart. Now, I don't know if that has to do with something culturally within their family. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. They just seemed like they were very technically very smart with when it came to technical stuff. Tech savvy, I would say that they were. And very good with math, very good with tech. All of them kind of had that bent. None of them were skateboarders, you know, thrill seekers. None of them, nobody in their family was that way. They were all very studious. Was that genetic? I don't know. All I'm saying is there can be differences among the different strains of people, if you will. It's just, there's just, some people are more attuned to certain things than others. Some families have better genetics for athletics than others do. Now, Joe Biden comes out and says, there's not a single thing that a man can do that a woman can't do as good or better. Not a single thing. Actually, he said it much more vulgar than that, but that's... What? Really, Joe? Really? Is that the truth? Yeah, Joe, you tell him. It's a blatant, flat-out, flagrant lie. Now, are there things that women can do that men can't do as good? Yeah, absolutely. If you want to start generalizing, it's very obvious both ways. Racism is the belief that groups of humans possess different behavioral traits corresponding to inherited attributes and can be divided based on the superiority of one race over another. This is where it gets into a problem. Superiority. That's where I have a real hard time with this. That's when racism becomes disgusting and despicable. It may also mean prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against other people because they are different race or ethnicity. I hate white people. Where in here in this definition does it say anything about institutional power? Who brought that up? That was brought up by the race baiters, by people like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They are excusing this young lady for screaming, I hate white people, because she has no institutional power. Well, it's okay because she has no institutional power. She's not really racist. Oh, so she's just a bigot. She's just prejudiced. She's antagonistic, but she's not racist. She just hates white people. That's not racism. Even though if a white person said that, they would be racist because they have institutional power. It's just the whole argument, in my opinion, the whole thing is disgusting. Any kind of racism, prejudice, but you know what? It's not just about race. People are prejudiced and discriminatory against people just for whatever. I know people who don't like redheads. If you got red hair, it's just that they hate people with red hair. Whatever. It's just that this is the human condition, unfortunately, that we live with. That people have prejudice and bigotry all around. It has nothing to do necessarily with the color of your skin. But they use this all the time. They're using it as a curmudgeon. I don't know what that is. I'm going to look up curmudgeon. So we can find what's a curmudgeon. Let's see what we get here. I don't even know if it start with a K or a C. Curmudgeon. No, that's not going to work. There's nothing there. Oh, maybe that's it right there. Yeah, curmudgeon. Yeah, let's see what we got here. What is? I probably should put a, what is. I don't, it's not here. Evaluation of comprehensive inhibitors, yeah, glucosamine. Yeah, that's it. That's apparently, it's a medical term, apparently. Yeah, can't find it. I'm probably making up words now. Maybe it would be able to hear me and say it. I don't know if I can speak it. I got to speak it. Give me a chance to say that. Oh, anyway. All right. I think you know what I'm trying to say. I hope you know what I'm trying to say. Maybe I can get a person to call in or something. Tell me what my problem is. Anyway, So, like I said, I'm not an English teacher. I'm not a wordologist. I didn't want to get off on this subject this morning. I wasn't going to go here, but I did, I guess, didn't I? So there you are. Let's talk about something else. Let's turn the corner. Take a sip of chai. Take a moment to take a breath. There we go. Racial stuff is very, very difficult to navigate. And there's probably people who would say, I'm racist just for bringing this stuff up. The left can talk about it all day long. We can hear from the White House spokesperson, Karine Jean-Pierre, all day long about how many people are so diverse. Diversity is a strength. I hear this all the time. Diversity is a strength. No, it's not. No. Diversity in and of itself is not a strength. That in and of itself is not a strength. Our diversity is our strength. No, it's not. A unifying vision is our strength, regardless of the color of your skin. If we can come up with a vision, here's what creates strength within diversity. You have to overcome diversity. Being diverse doesn't necessarily just mean how you identify and how you look. It's how we bring about people with different opinions, different political ideologies, how we bring those people together with a unifying vision. That is our strength. And that strength happens from a vision that the founders had in our nation, that all men are created equal, all people, all of mankind, all of peoplekind, whatever, Trudeau. That everyone's created equal. Oh, you'll go, you know the thing. Whatever. Whatever, Joe. And that's where it lies. That's where our strength lies, in the ability to overcome diversity. Or in spite of our diversity, we have a higher value. We have a higher vision to see to it that everyone has equality.
Well, some are more equal than others.
Yeah, whatever. You have equal opportunity, not equal outcome, equal opportunity. That should be our goal, our drive, and our vision. And we're not going to step on anyone to get there. We don't have to vilify anybody else, any other group that maybe has taken advantage of something in the past. That doesn't work either. We get there by working together. And pitting one group against another does not get us there together. Yeah. So we have, I'm just spouting off today. I don't know what's up with me. It's early. It's 7:30 this morning. It's early for me. I got up at 6 o'clock. I got out of bed. Actually, my feet hit the floor at 6 a.m. this morning. And I was able to get down here and get the cat off my chair. It's, usually I'm an hour later and I have a chance to mellow out a little bit after my morning Wheaties. So I have another issue I want to talk about here real quick before the show is over. It's the FBI. Apparently in New York, went to become a school teacher. Now, I don't know if this is New York. I think this is everywhere in the state of New York. School teachers all have to have their fingerprints taken. Now, within the last year, they've been tracking. See, they had this whole deal where, you know, the vaccine came out. There's a couple other things I want to talk about, too. Dr. John Campbell had some interesting information from Denmark. We'll talk about that at the end. The vaccine mandate came out, and of course, I think it was New York City, actually, that they ended up firing over 2,000 workers because they refused to get vaccinated, and they ended up, about almost 1,000 of those were teachers. In the process of this, we find out that the teachers have this mandatory fingerprint thing. And your fingerprints now are, they turned in these individuals who didn't want to get vaccinated. There's a certain, some kind of a system in place in New York that is tied to the FBI to become a person of, it's not person of interest, but a person of possible problem person or whatever you are. It's almost like a social score kind of thing. And now when you go to apply for a job anywhere else, that's on your record. You have actually something on your FBI record. If you wanted to go to be a, say you wanted to work for a federal agency, or you want to work for even a city or state agency, want to get into law enforcement, whatever you want to get into, if you'd be an airline pilot, any kind of security sensitive position, job, that will show up on your background check. For not getting vaccinated, you're a problem now. So Roman Bumelkov at Facts Matter, he was going over this stuff, and he was finding some of this stuff out. And he did a little bit more digging into this, find out a little bit more about it, and found out that the CDC, is also involved in this stuff. Now, I don't know about you. In the past couple of years, the CDC has not really been it's been more than that. I've been watching this, what the CDC's been up to for about the last 25 years. Because they've gotten involved, as soon as they started getting involved in gun legislation, that threw up some red flags for me, where that was started to go. The CDC now is also tracking individuals who are not vaccinated. Now, I kind of fall into this weird group of individuals, because I'm weird. My wife told me last night I'm weird. I said, well, it takes one to know one. So, nah. She, I guess, because I was standing in the aisle going, honey, pointing at the honey, you know, whatever. So we end up going to this. System here where the vaccinated now are on record as having been vaccinated. Now there's some people who are partially vaccinated, some people who are fully vaccinated, and there's other people they fall into some kind of weird camp. I'm probably in the strange camp. They have different designations for them. It's like a 10-08-34 or whatever they are. Like, actually, I can probably pull it up on my phone. I took a screenshot of some of this stuff. I'll pull it up here real quick. Yeah, it's a Z28. Sounds like a car. -310, and then there's Z28-311. I think there's also a 339, something like that. These different designations. One is a patient has not received at least one dose of any COVID 19 vaccine. 311 is received at least one dose of vaccine, but not enough to be fully vaccinated. And there's none of 39 is like this odd thing where they don't know for sure. Now, I'm in one of these camps where I don't disclose my medical information. Whenever I'm asked if I'm vaccinated, I just say, I don't disclose my medical situation, even by doctors. I walked into a nursing home one time, and they asked me, are you vaccinated? I said, I don't disclose. I said, do I have to answer that? She said, nope. I said, I don't disclose. Okay, then. Now, they're going to assume you're not vaccinated, I would think. My argument, I ran into a large, I had this when I was in the one work group that I was involved in, right when the vaccine started coming, the mandate started coming out. There was this industry that I was involved with that they were trying to mandate the vaccine. And I ran into several people who would say, oh, I'm all for the vaccines, but I'm not for the mandate. So you're not going to disclose to your employer that you're vaccinated? Well, yeah, I'm going to disclose it. Because otherwise they'd fire me. It's like, so you're not really opposed to the mandate then? Well, yeah, I'm opposed to the mandate. So, well, how are you going to protest it? What's going to be your stand then? How are you going to take a stand against it? Well, I'm going to vote. Oh, you mean in 2 years from now, you're going to vote after the mandates have decimated people's lives? You're going to take a stand then in the voting booth that may or may not make a difference. You realize that if people like you, which are the majority of individuals, by the way, would stand up and say, we're not disclosing our vaccination status, force the company to fire half of their people, they're going to back down from that. They're going to say, okay, tell you what, just get vaccinated. We're not going to ask if you're vaccinated or not. That's what would happen. Or they would fire you, one of two. But that's where you make the stand. If now, I have no problem if somebody says, well, I do have a problem with it, but that's their business. If they say, I'm all for the vaccines and I'm all for the mandate, okay, well, then you're living in that world then. I refuse to live in that world. I'm not going to disclose to my employer what my medical status is because I am against the mandate.
You have the right to kill. I have the right to kill you with my COVID.
I hate to tell you this, but COVID spreads even if you're vaccinated. So does that person have the right to kill you with your COVID too? Dr. John Campbell. Well, the point here is that apparently the government is tracking those individuals who are not complying with vaccination. Which I think is utterly just insane. Now, as the truth starts to come out, there's this race against time here to get truth out about things. And Dr. John Campbell, he has taken a turn, folks. When this all started happening, he was the most positive person about vaccines. He was looking at the numbers. He was very hopeful, very positive speaking about vaccinations. I mean, you couldn't have found a more, just a more down-to-earth, let's look at the numbers, here's what's happening. And then as the numbers began to tell a different story, he started bringing other things up. He started getting censored from YouTube, and he was presenting nothing but numbers, statistical numbers that the government was putting out. No opinions. He started developing other methods of communicating his concerns. He would pull out his pen and he'd be writing on his notes. He'd have a little statement there on his screen, and he would point out different things on the notes. He would use different colored pens when he was trying to warn people, this is not good, this is not a good sign. I think he's been on Joe Rogan recently, as well as some other shows. I think he was actually on Russell Brand and some other things. He's been on several different. He has millions of followers. Very well respected individual. British, I believe. He has now recently come out and talking about the most recent study that is coming out of Denmark. The mRNA vaccine is supposed to go away, the messenger RNA vaccine, is supposed to go away and break down in the body in less than 30 days. Actually, it's supposed to be less than 2 weeks. The way it works, the way I understand it, I'm not an epidemiologist or virologist or an RNA virus, whatever. I'm not a gist. I'm just a guy. So he ends up looking into the study, and the study is basically saying that the mRNA vaccine now is staying in the bloodstreams of people well over 28 days. The way this thing is supposed to work is you put it in your body. It's not supposed to go into your bloodstream. In fact, they're supposed to aspirate. One of the things about this particular vaccine and one of his big concerns right off the bat was that most countries that were implementing this thing, and Denmark happened to be a country that was implementing what's called aspiration, which is they put the needle in, they draw back a little bit to make sure that they're not in a blood vessel. If blood comes out of that needle, it comes back into the tube of the syringe. They know they're in a blood vessel and they cannot inject the vaccine into that because they don't want it to go directly in the bloodstream. They want to get it into tissue. So what happens, I'll probably half of my audience just fainted probably. So the way they do this is they put it into the blood tissue, into muscle tissue or whatever it's going to be. And so they get it, they put it in there. That mRNA vaccine is what creates this some kind of something acid, toxic, something spike protein, whatever it is it does. It does this thing in there. And the body's reaction to the mRNA vaccine is what creates the antibodies, supposedly. Now, Dr. Malone's issue with this was that's not what was happening. His issue, and he was vaccinated. After he started looking at the studies and what was happening, his problem with it was they're not using the mRNA vaccine the way it should be done. What they're counting on is something called cytotoxicity. That the body's reaction to fight off this foreign invader is raising the level of cytotoxicity, and that's what's causing the vaccine to fight off the same thing it's creating to fight off the vaccine. The vaccine is what's being used to fight off the virus. The problem is it doesn't fight off the virus. It only gives it's a therapeutic. It becomes a therapeutic because it doesn't actually kill the virus. It just reduces the symptoms, and that's exactly what it was doing. I mean, he called it even before people started realizing that's what was happening. It was just, well, you won't get as sick and you won't be there's less of a chance you'll be in the hospital. That's because of cytotoxicity. Now, there are other issues involved in down the road with cytotoxicity with this whole thing, but that's the initial reaction that Malone had, who invented mRNA technology. Now, he didn't make the vaccine. He made the technology that they used to fight this virus. He knows what this stuff, he knows how it's supposed to work. It originally was developed to fight cancer. So this is my understanding of it. And I could be totally, totally wrong. The problem now is that this thing is doing other things. How many of you knew what myocarditis was prior to vaccination? The incidence of myocarditis among individuals from 25 to 55 has increased almost 30% in the last 2 years. Well, it's because of COVID. If you had COVID, this is what? No. It's not that now. They're finding it's not COVID. It's the vaccine. Other studies in other countries who are bold enough to take these actions are finding that this is what's happening. Denmark has now discovered this issue is bigger. There are actually countries now banning any further vaccines. Why are we not hearing about it in the news? Well, because Pfizer pays for the news. There's some weird stuff going on, folks, and that's all I'm going to say. Thank goodness I have a podcast where I can talk about this kind of stuff, and it's not really, as far as I know, I'm not being censored. I do have a feeling I'm being shadow banned to some degree. I know I can't post this stuff on YouTube. I would never be able to post my podcast on YouTube. I think that the more that happens, the more that they discover, and the more people start to realize this, the less and less censoring there is now. They're a little bit more under the gun about this whole censoring thing. However, it's still happening, and it will still continue to happen. If you look at what's going on in China, it is absolutely amazing, the social censoring that happens there. If you step outside the social boundaries, much like what is happening in New York with the teachers, you step outside of what is socially acceptable. Well, now you can't get a car loan. You can't get another job. Now you're put into a particular whatever. Yeah, it's very interesting stuff that's happening. I don't know how to fight back against it. I just know that we need to fight back against it. The only thing I can tell you to do, or that I know we should do, can't tell you to do it. If you're looking for something to do, that I can tell you that. This much. We need to pray. And it's not so much that the prayer is going to change the event. 90% of the time, it changes our heart. If you kneel down to pray without the intention of getting back up to having it changed your heart to give you some kind of inspiration and motivation, the biggest thing that prayer changes is our hearts. And then we go forward and we do the changing. So pray for our leaders, pray for each other, but pray for change of your own heart. God bless everybody. Have a great day.